Hello and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host, and we are here to help achievers and business owners and leaders move forward so that they can reach their potential. The way I do this is I get great guests that are business movers and shakers here in lovely Ra-Cha-Cha, New York, and we try to really help people learn about everything going on in Rochester. It's a great time. It's a renaissance in Rochester now, and I do that by having great guests like Mike Kochaczki. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave.
I pronounced your last name right. How often does that happen?
Not too often.
Mike Kochaczki. So Mike, let me tell you a little bit about Mike. So Mike, I'm going to read your bio, Mike, and then sure. we'll dig in. So Mike is a company of accelerated performance. And I've known Mike for a number of years. I think I met you originally through the Small Business Council.
Correct.
And you are in Rotary. And
yes.
I'm in Rotary, even though I'm a very bad Rotary member lately. I have not been to a lunch probably in like 2 months. So shame on me. I feel bad. You're good about the lunches though, right?
I'm very good about them. They're great.
Yeah. Yeah. So I need to start going again soon. But Mike has really had a diverse and successful career as a business leader and entrepreneur. Like I said, his current company is Accelerated Performance, and we're going to talk about that. But Mike has, before that, you were at Xerox.
Yes.
Right, Xerox for how many years?
Almost 32 years.
32 years.
Right.
And we have Xerox to thank for bringing you here.
Yes, I relocated here in 1992.
You are from Dub Bronx.
The Bronx.
Right?
Dub Bronx, as people
you're
would
from
say,
the Bronx.
But I say the Bronx.
The Bronx. Yes. And that's what one of the great
originally.
Things. Originally. And that's one of the great things about when we had the big three is that they brought a mm-hmm. lot of people
right.
here. And, I interviewed Bob Duffy recently, and he said that a lot of times with these big companies, Rochester was really hard to get people here. But then once they were here for a while, it was really hard to get them to leave.
Very true. And I'm one of those. I'm a Rochesterian now.
I love that. Yeah.
Absolutely. I moved here in 92. And
you're a downstate guy.
I was.
You know,
not
I mean,
anymore.
Like, a lot of people are like, what's upstate, right? What's you know, Westchester is upstate.
Yeah,
what's north of Westchester?
Anything north of Yonkers was considered upstate when I was growing up.
Yeah. But, I think you get involved in that New York lifestyle, right? Cutting edge everything, the food, right?
So, growing up, you think it's the only place to be, and then you move out and you discover there are great places to live. And we moved here to the Rochester area and really enjoy it.
Yeah, great place to raise a family.
Wonderful. My two daughters have been raised here, and my older daughter's back in town going to graduate school at RIT, and she's happy to be back after 4 years in Virginia, Northern Virginia, with all its traffic and congestion.
Right. That is one of the benefits is, pretty much can be anywhere in Rochester within about 20 minutes.
That's true.
And in fact, a few years ago, Greater Rochester Enterprise hired Diction Schwabel Advertising to do kind of a marketing piece about the benefits of living in Rochester. And there was some survey done by one of these companies, and we were like one of the, if not the best commute for a major city, where the average was 20 minutes or less. So they did this promo piece where someone at Diction Schwabel heard that I literally have a 3 minute commute because I live and work in Victor. And I don't work out of my house. I mean, I work in the village of Victor and I live 3 minutes away. So they got somebody from Diction Schwabel with a camera, got in my car, and they interviewed me as I was driving to work and showed like from my house to work 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
That was part of the promo piece. Okay. So great commute, very affordable housing, great schools, right? Where'd your kids go to school?
They're Pittsford School District.
Sutherland or Mendon?
Mendon.
Oh, all right. I went to Sutherland, but Mendon's okay. Mendon's acceptable.
you can't beat the commute I had to my first job, though.
What was it?
It was about 150-foot walk from my house to the grocery store on the corner in the Bronx.
Oh, you worked at the grocery store?
That was my first job.
What'd you do there?
Started out working the shelves and the counter and doing all the usual stuff a 16-year-old kid does when in his first job.
Yep.
Long ago. And it was actually off the books, by the way.
Right. Oh, well, of course, it's New York,
it had
right?
To be. paid cash.
Right, New York.
And yeah. Tips for deliveries. Delivered right. Groceries before Amazon even knew how to do that.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. So you should have come up with Amazon.
I should have.
So you were at Xerox for 30 plus years.
Yes, I started my Xerox career. I worked for a newspaper after that grocery store while I was in college. I actually worked full-time for the newspaper for most of my time there and finished college part-time. Mm-hmm. Graduated in 1979 and took an extra year for college and decided, you know, obviously it was a weekly newspaper, needed to, you know, move on in my career. So I ended up with a job at Xerox in sales in Westchester County, started in White Plains, New York.
You went way up
yes,
state.
Went yeah, way yeah. In central Westchester, White Plains, for a small group called Xerox Reproduction Centers. And I actually sold copying and printing as a service. I didn't sell the hardware. Set up basically as a commercial printing and quick printing operation with a sales territory. So Xerox really taught me how to sell, professional sales training, territory, did very well. Became a sales manager there in 1986 in the same operation, covering with sales teams in Westchester and Southern Connecticut, the Greenwich, Stamford, Norwalk, mm-hmm. That kind of area. Covered a lot of major accounts. Moved to Rochester in 1992 for a promotion with Xerox. By then it was called Xerox Business Services, and we sold outsourcing large contracts where Xerox put people on site. I moved here for a promotion to a headquarters, division headquarters marketing position. Thought I would be in Rochester 2 or 3 years, punch the headquarters ticket job and go back to the field, and then I just never left the community. Yep. Ended up staying here. And
now you are a Rochesterian.
Yes, and what happened was, if you want to hear the story, I was at Xerox, and as most people in Rochester would know, Xerox got into a little bit of trouble in the 99, 2000, 2001 era, and yeah. When we were near bankruptcy.
I own stock.
Yes.
Yeah, so, unfortunately, so I bought it when it was pretty high.
Yeah.
And
well, so did a lot of people.
I think it got down to like $4, right?
Well, yeah, traded under $5 for a little bit.
Yeah.
So in the fall of 2000, I had a staff of 4 people. I was a manager of sales and marketing operations in a specific group. And I got a phone call from the senior vice president I was reporting to at the time, and who told me I had to lay off my staff in 2 days. And it was mm-hmm. quite emotional. It was a very... you know, I'd never had to do that before.
Yeah.
So I was 20 plus years with the company at that point. Thought, okay. And he said, if we don't right the ship, more cuts are coming. So I assumed he knew that. I took that to mean.
Yeah, it was a hint.
Next. It was a hint.
Yeah.
So what started as a job search actually evolved over the next 2 to 3 months into a decision. This was the fall of 2000 to start my own business. While I continued my Xerox career, if I could get company permission to do that, and the company was kind enough to allow it. They have a policy that allowed employees to have an outside business interest, provided it didn't conflict or compete.
Yeah.
And so I started...
Let me back up. So you're one of these guys that had a full-time job.
I had a full-time career, middle management, doing well. I joke that I had become fat, dumb, and happy in my Xerox career, doing well and thinking life is just going to tool along. And then, mm-hmm. you know, the world changes on you.
Yeah.
So when that happened, I also realized that the job search, I said, I think I'd like to... try to build a business and actually stay at Xerox because I believed in the company and that it would turn itself around.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great decision because, number one, it allowed me to start to build my consulting and professional development business basically at the pace I could build it.
Yeah.
I have a stay-at-home wife, and I had, at that time, my older daughter was 10 years old, and little did I know, but my wife is going to be expecting again.
Wow,
shortly
years,
after that phone call.
10-year spread.
Have
huh?
a 10-year spread between the wow. two. So what happened was I got permission to start the business.
Hey, Mike, I'm going to put you on hold for 1 second.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
Okay, very good.
Join Gordon Deal weekdays from 5 to 9 for America's Morning News on 1310 WOKR.
Hi, Dave Amano here, host of the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I'm here to tell you about a gem that we have here in Rochester, a gem that allows men to look impeccably dressed while not having to spend a fortune. The place is called Incognito Menswear, located right here in Penfield. They have a huge selection of pre-enjoyed quality menswear, as well as a great selection of new, up-to-date fashion items from jeans to modern fit suits. Another benefit of Incognito is that you can trade up. This means that you can trade up your own pre-enjoyed clothing and upgrade your wardrobe on the spot. So not only are their prices already amazing, you can save even more with their unique trade-up offers. Incognito is an amazing local company conveniently located at the Four Corners in Penfield. And get this, during November, they are offering a free pair of Enzo jeans, incredibly fitting and updated designer jeans in a number of colors with any sport coat purchase. These jeans are normally $99. It's a great time to check out Incognito Menswear and Tuck Shop.
Hey folks, Dave Mamano here, host of Avanti Entrepreneur Radio. I'm here to welcome a new sponsor to my show. It's One Down Consulting. A friend of mine, Ron Willie, owns the company. And, you know, I look back at when I started in sales and I had a Rolodex and a phone. And we all have access today to the best sales and marketing technology, but most of us are not using it effectively. And let's face it, the companies that leverage technology will outmarket and outsell their competitors. If you need help with all of this technology to make sure you're maximizing your sales and marketing efforts with technology, then Ron Willie and One Down Consulting is your partner. They can really make sure that you are maximizing your sales and marketing technology strategy, your sales process, your marketing and sales alignment. They have implementation of tools for marketing automation, Salesforce automation, CRM, and so much more. I really encourage you to go to onedownconsulting.com to learn more, and or just reach out to me and I'll connect you.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
800-368-5184. 800-368-5184. 800-368-5184. 800-368-5184.
Finally, a radio station for conversation. 1310 WOKR.
Okay, we are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Bamano, your host. I'm here with Mike Kachechki today. Mike is the owner of Accelerated Performance, which is, how to best describe it, sales and training company?
I do more than that. Yes. So I do sales. I do business consulting, professional development, and process improvement. So I do work with clients in the area of strategic thinking and business planning, strategy. It will include sales and marketing work as part of that. But I also can look at an organization and their business in its entirety. I was trained to do that through my time at Xerox. I was involved in the Malcolm Baldrige National Quality Award initiatives. I do a lot in the terms of people development. That does include sales training and development, leadership, management, executive leadership, both individual and groups. I do a lot of group work with teams or teams of managers, teams of sales reps, teams of frontline supervisors. Very unique approach to creating change with a different type of delivery model than people are used to. It's not the traditional training methods, but it's a more robust way of helping people to actually internalize, learn, practice, and make internally driven change so that they can become better at what they do. And then when I left Xerox, as I was saying before the break, I stayed with Xerox for 10 years after starting the business. And I was trained and certified. I was able to get into the Lean Six Sigma program as trained and certified as a Lean Six Sigma black belt.
And for those of the listeners that don't know what that is, what is the Six Sigma?
Basically, Lean and Six Sigma are methods of improving processes and eliminating opportunities for error. So if you make something in manufacturing, traditionally it was in manufacturing, but in service businesses, for example, everything's a process. You may be processing documents, you may be processing information, you may be delivering customer services, whatever it might be, tangible or intangible. If you look at how the work gets done, what you want to do is look for areas of waste and inefficiency and remove those from the process so that you can be more efficient and effective in doing it. You also want to eliminate opportunities to make mistakes. So what you do is when you become a Lean Six Sigma belt, as they call it, and there are different levels, you learn how to do that in a very systematic project management-like way. And Xerox deployed this across the company as it was coming out of the near bankruptcy that it experienced, and it was able to achieve a lot of efficiencies and productivity improvements. I worked in a group that actually had call centers, and we applied Lean and Six Sigma to make the call center operations more efficient and effective to Canadian centers. So that was part of what I did, and I added that when I retired from Xerox. In fact, 6 years ago today,
wow.
I left the Xerox, thank you very much, and I retired and to devote my career full-time to my own business. By that point, I added Lean Six Sigma as a service.
Wow.
So I work in those three areas, strategy, people, and process.
Where does it come from? Where was Six Sigma invented? It sounds like
its origins go back into manufacturing. It has roots both in U.S. manufacturing with consultants and that era, Edward Deming. After World War II, the Japanese really embraced the elements of Lean and Six Sigma, applied it. A lot of people know about like the Toyota production system.
Yeah.
And there are books written called The Toyota Way, The Toyota Way to Service Excellence. That's one of the books I've been reading lately. Its roots were in manufacturing, but it can be applied to just about everything. And it sounds more complicated than it really is.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get down into it, if a sales guy can learn it, anybody can learn it.
Well, so you're more than just a sales guy.
Yeah, that's true.
So we'll give you some credit.
Okay.
So, not that I want to steal all your secret sauce,
sure.
But our listeners, you know, a lot of them are starting businesses, growing businesses. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you do that could help early stage to middle stage business owners?
Mm-hmm.
We'll say sales, but some of the other things that you
sure.
do too. What are some of the things that you would, I'll say, to quote unquote, stop the bleeding and really get the ship headed in the right direction?
Right. Well, the first thing, you mentioned the word sales. One of the first words of advice I would give to anyone either starting a business or if you've started your business and you're struggling is you really have to learn how to sell and how to market. And there's a distinction between the two. They're not exactly the same. People will make the mistake of thinking, well, I'm marketing. I've got business cards, brochure, I've got a website. They think the world is going to start clicking on their website, or they invest in they might invest in search engine optimization to get people to their website. They'll do all these things. They'll do social media, and still the sales aren't coming, or the customers aren't flocking to them. What they have to learn is that they do need to add the element of sales, which is really getting the customer to start really meeting those prospective customers and getting the appointments and getting in front of them, being able to understand what the customer's needs and goals are, and then being able to determine if you can match what you have to offer to solve their problems, help them meet their challenges. Too often, people are afraid to actually go out and do the actual hard work that it takes to do that selling.
Mm-hmm.
And for someone, let's say, who maybe was in a company for a long time, in a non-sales role in particular, I've met some engineers, I've met some people who've got this, they were very good at what they did, and they assume that people are going to want, they make the assumption that people are going to want what it is they have to offer, whether they're consulting or starting a business. They pretty quickly discover that they have to go out and be able to communicate in a conversational way, using a professional process, selling process, to help them, find and acquire those customers. So my first piece of advice is learn how to sell, understand the difference between sales and marketing, and start overcoming some of the resistance that you may have internally to actually doing the work that's required of sales.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's sales and marketing.
Sales and marketing.
How about just organizational stuff? Oftentimes, if you've ever read the E-Myth, right?
Yes, I have read the E-Myth.
And so Michael talks about, you're only going to grow so much if you're always making the pies, right? And so how can you stop making the pies, train other people to make the pies just as well, if not better, and work on the business instead of in it? Is that some of the stuff you do too?
That is. In fact, it's interesting because Some small. I teach at. I teach as an adjunct, as you know.
Yeah, and yeah, I heard you had a great guest speaker a couple weeks ago.
I did. You were terrific, Dave.
thank you.
And I've taught entrepreneurship, and I bring in guest speakers, and to a person, they'll often say, "I really, you know, I learned I needed to get help that I'm not the expert at. I can't do everything myself."
Yeah.
So as your business starts to grow, you can either sometimes hire employees and find the right talent, and you have to work hard at doing that. If your business is such that you want to take that on, or you can take that on, you may be able to find partners or companies that can provide certain services to you. For example, if you're not good at designing websites, don't do it yourself.
Right.
If you say, you know, I really don't want to invest, you know, hours and hours of my own time doing certain tasks, can you find someone who can do it for you? Maybe you have a skill set, maybe you're lacking a skill set, and you can have someone you know, come in as a consultant or a strategic partner, and if you can build a relationship with them to collaborate on certain work.
Yeah.
So it really depends on the business you're in as well. If you're creating a company that's going to manufacture a product, yes, you might need to hire employees at some point. You might start out working with a contract manufacturer, and then you might decide to bring it in. But you have to then make sure that you have people who can supervise and run the operation effectively, people who have that expertise.
Right.
I recently worked with a company that, quite frankly, was struggling because they're very good at selling and really nice people, but the production operation in what they were making, quite frankly, was very disorganized, and they themselves lacked the ability to manage that side of the business.
Yeah.
And I was saying, you need to put process in place and get someone in there who can oversee and manage the people and understand, to help them stick with that process, because they couldn't do everything themselves.
Yeah. Interesting. When you go into an organization, is there like a common, I'll say, tailspin that you see, or some like you could almost predict some of the issues that a growing organization is going to have?
Well, I can tell you, I've seen, fortunately for me, most of the organizations I've worked with are pretty well run, but everyone will have some common themes.
Yeah.
Quite often the people issues, it could be communication issues between managers and frontline employees. They often will lack a consistent process, or they'll lack documentation for processes. So a lot of the information about how work gets done is residing in people's heads, and then somebody leaves and they don't have they don't have up-to-date documentation to train new people.
Yeah.
And people will sometimes say, well, I don't have time to put that together, or, you know, we know how it gets done and we'll just train the next person who comes in.
Right.
The problem is, number one, people do leave, and sometimes on short notice, and then you have to scramble, and you don't have anybody who's trained. So policies and procedures, as much as people don't like to put them together or keep them up to date, they can be very helpful, because they can also, not only are they there for, you know, maybe compliance issues, like if you're an ISO 9001 organization and you have to have documentation. By the way, that documentation, whether or not you need that certification, can be used for training people. And if you have somebody who keeps it up to date, that help further helps. And if you're not sure what to do, you can sort of go to the manual when you have to.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be some variance. So I see organizations that, and then senior leaders sometimes are, you know, just assuming that people know what to do, when quite frankly, they may not. Interrelationships out on the production floor, or where, whatever it might be, if it, you know, in a services business, you know, key to whether or not, you know, a business is going to run efficiently. Quite often, it's just that human factor.
Right.
And when I work with managers, and this is something to keep in mind, simple things like time management, organization, communications, how one communicates with the organization, frequency, those are critically important.
Yeah. Yeah. Creativity, right?
The other thing I will often see as a lack of is the company doesn't have any sort of formalized plan in place. They don't really have a direction as to where they might have done the vision and the mission, and they've got values and it's on the wall, but they're not really taking the time to think.
Right.
Think that through and develop
a
plan.
They're just busy growing, putting out fires,
right? Right. They're, it's the balance between planning and doing.
Yeah.
That's the challenge, specifically for smaller businesses.
Yeah.
Because the owner is often the doer.
Yeah. Well, the owner is often the visionary.
Right.
That has these all these great ideas, probably sales oriented.
Right.
Wanting to say yes to everything.
Correct.
And then, you know, I find that really great companies have that that number two, who's kind of the opposite of the founder or the entrepreneurial visionary, that is good at saying, no, let's not do that.
Mm-hmm.
We agreed that we were going to do this.
Right.
So let's not chase that little bunny hole. Right. And really make sure that there's processes and systems to make sure that you're executing well.
And you raise a good point. The knowing, you know, knowing is what I'm being asked to do or what I want to do. Is it consistent with our vision and mission? Because you can get yourself off in a direction that could suck up a lot of time and resources if you start saying yes to too much.
Right.
So you always have to think about, what's our strategy? And maybe we want to try something new. But does it fit in with our longer-term vision of where we want to take this?
Well, we only have so much wattage.
Correct.
Yeah, and entrepreneurs are famous for a new idea, giving it 100%.
Right.
And then 2 weeks later, it's down to 60%. A month later, you know, then there's a new idea.
Right.
And I, you know, listen, I'll raise my hand. I've done that many times. You know, I had, when I was growing my first company, Next Step, you know, we grew a national magazine. Great. And then I started all these little side businesses that were semi-related. Mm-hmm. And I had somebody on my team, Diana, come to me. And she was a little frustrated with me because I'm giving her all these little side things. And she, you know, she brought it very nice. But she was like, I feel like we're growing like a shrub instead of a tree.
Ooh, that's a good metaphor.
And I was like, that's deep, you know, because we were growing sideways, you know, and not up, not straight. And I was stressing out the organization.
Okay.
And then, you know, and then you look at Warren Buffett, who's been, you know, pretty successful. And someone asked him his one secret to success. If he was to say one secret to success, and it was saying no.
Mm-hmm.
And his rule is, he says no 99 out of 100 times. And it's not like that he wants to say no. He said some of these things are very enticing and exciting. Mm-hmm. But he has to have the discipline to say, does it relate to the one thing that I'm doing to grow my company?
And his other statement that I've heard, and he's primarily an investor, as I understand why, he won't invest in something he can't understand.
Yeah, that he doesn't know about. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, that's important too.
Very traditional. I mean, he's an investor in the Buffalo News, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Mike, we are going to take a quick break.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
Great.
Join Gordon Deal weekdays from 5 to 9 for America's Morning News on 1310 WOKR.
Hi, Dave Amano here, host of the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I'm here to tell you about a gem that we have here in Rochester, a gem that allows men to look impeccably dressed while not having to spend a fortune. The place is called Incognito Menswear, located right here in Penfield. They have a huge selection of pre-enjoyed quality menswear, as well as a great selection of new, up-to-date fashion items from jeans to modern fit suits. Another benefit of Incognito is that you can trade up. This means that you can trade up your own pre-enjoyed clothing and upgrade your wardrobe on the spot. So not only are their prices already amazing, you can save even more with their unique trade-up offers. Incognito is an amazing local company conveniently located at the Four Corners in Penfield. And get this, during November, they are offering a free pair of Enzo jeans, incredibly fitting and updated designer jeans in a number of colors with any sport coat purchase. These jeans are normally $99. It's a great time to check out Incognito Menswear and Tuck Shop.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-219-8332. 800-219-8332. 800-219-8332. That's 800-219-8332.
Think of everything you do to provide for your family. A home, food on the table, healthcare, vacations, and saving for your kids' education. It's all good as long as you're alive. But it's only a drop in the bucket of what they'll need if you die without life insurance. Buying term life insurance is not something you can afford to put off. Call the Term Lifeline now for the lowest possible rates on quality term life insurance. Term life rates are at all-time lows, and we can save you up to 70%. If you already have coverage, you could be paying too much. One call could save you thousands of dollars. We have great rates for smokers, too, or if you have health problems. Providing for today is good, but it's not enough if you die prematurely. Call the Term Lifeline today for a free quote. Protect your family and see if you could save up to 70%.
800-430-1481. 800-430-1481. 800-430-1481. That's 800-430-1481.
Canandaigua's newest radio station, 1310 WOKR.
All right, we are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host. My guest on the show today is Michael Kochaczki. Michael, how are you? Welcome to the show again.
Great, thank you.
You've been a great guest. For those of you that are just joining us, Michael has a great storied career, came to us as an immigrant from the Bronx.
That's the way to put it.
A young Italian boy from the Bronx.
I had a short stop in Danbury, Connecticut. That's where my older daughter was born, too.
There you go. Yes. So little Danbury. But calls Rochester home since 1992.
Correct.
And he literally said at the beginning of the show that he is now a Rochesterian. Rochester
Absolutely.
Is his home. And has worked at Xerox for many, many years. The highs, the lows, everywhere in between. And was able to, is the word, retire, escape?
Retired.
Okay.
Happily escaped with a nice package.
There's a lot, and there's some of you in Rochester that I've met that took their expertise from Xerox and now are doing, you know, great things as consultants, as coaches.
Right.
Another friend of mine, do you know Luis Martinez?
I do know Luis, yes.
Another guy. Xerox guy, and I believe now he's really focused more on that, like the HR consulting side.
He was an HR.
Yeah, so you're taking great, there. I mean, Xerox in its heyday, and it still is a great company, but man, in its heyday, it was like one of the most respected companies in the world.
Right.
In Search of Excellence, the book, it was featured in that book, right?
Yes. And when I was hired in 1980, I can tell you my parents were thrilled when I came home and said, I'm going to go to work for Xerox.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
my father was a doctor. So, you know, if you're not going to become a doctor, but you ended up in Xerox or IBM back then,
you landed.
You were like, oh, you're set for life. That
right.
was the perception. But I will say, you know, Xerox was very, very good to me overall. And I've, you know, a lot of people sometimes feel like, oh, the big company, you know, no place is perfect, but I would not have learned what I learned about business if I hadn't had my Xerox career. I thank them for paying for my MBA too.
That's so, right. Were you there with David Stearns?
David Kearns?
I mean, David Kearns.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I actually started before David Kearns took over. I think there were six CEOs during my 30 years.
Wow, okay.
Yes. But he was my favorite.
He was one of the best, right?
He was great.
He was really, I don't want to, put aside some of the other CEOs, but he was really responsible for you know, putting the heart in Xerox with a lot of the stuff you're talking about, right?
In fact, when we talked about Lean Six Sigma earlier, and the whole quality movement, you remember the 1980s, the total quality movement?
Yeah.
And when the Japanese were coming in, and Xerox had its first near-death experience in the late 70s, early 80s, when the patents ran out on plain paper copying, and the Japanese came in, and similar to the auto industry, it was David Kearns who really drove the quality improvement initiatives with a program called Leadership to Quality that we were all trained in, and it was our first exposure. So, and every employee was trained in problem solving and quality improvement processes, and it became a culture, a cultural aspect of it. And he was a terrific man.
Well, that's great because Xerox could have lost its shirt way back when.
Yes, and we came out of it, and that's one reason I ended up staying and getting to Rochester.
Xerox, and it's in its heyday, it had the world by the chestnuts, right? I mean, you know, no competition for the most part. And then, of course, the Japanese came along and said, hey,
we're gonna do it
faster, cheaper, better.
Right, and not seeing the technology opportunities that it was developing internally at Palo Alto Research Center and other areas. But, you know, entrepreneurs and small business owners in the Rochester area can learn a lot from people like me who worked in the big company. I had a client a couple of years ago, worked with the organization for about 2 years, and the owner was, it was about a 15-person company, and in a services business. A woman had started it, very successful business, still, in fact, I had lunch with her son yesterday, he works in the business, and she was very concerned when we first started working together about doing a strategic plan, that she was concerned that I was going to bring bureaucracy to her business. And I kept saying, there's no, it's not bureaucracy. I'm not bringing you the Xerox way. But it was important that there be some structure to the business. And this is another piece of advice to small businesses, entrepreneurs, as you're growing. You do need some structure. You do need, at some point, you can't have chaos. You may have strategic thinking and you can have great, you know, visionary thoughts, but you do need to bring some structure to your organization so people know how things are going to get done and who's responsible for what and who reports to whom. You want to have, you don't want silos. You want people communicating across organizations, and it, and you can have a very flat organization. And you don't have to have the bureaucracy and multiple decision makers and layers, but what you can have is some basic structure so people know what it is they need to do and are able to do it, and they know how to get the work done and that they're prepared to do it. And you have accountability along the way. So that's another word of advice to organizations. Yeah. Don't be afraid of a bit of structure.
And your style, you're such a nice, calm guy. I mean, I'm going to talk to your wife later, but you bring your...
You're not getting my home phone number.
No, no, all right. I'll Google it, yeah? But it seems like you would bring a calming kind of confidence to the organization where maybe... You know, a lot of times in entrepreneurial organizations, there's some big personalities, right? Gregarious, visionaries. And do you feel like you're a calming force sometimes?
I have been told that my style is such that I do bring a calmness in to an organization when I come in and I work with them. I think it's one of the things that happens, and maybe it's my basic personality, but also learned over years working in sales. You have to be able to adapt and adjust to different styles.
Yeah.
It's not my role to come in as a consultant or doing training and development to be prescriptive and try to change the organization to what I think is right. It's my role to go in and observe it initially, understand, learn about their business, how it works, be able to play at times the objective third-party person who can give some really objective feedback, keep things calm. So if I'm dealing with someone who is, you know, the emotional... You know, very, you know, might even be a difficult person to work for. The temperamental type.
Yeah, like me.
That I can keep things, you know, keep things in perspective. So, for example, when I'm doing a strategic planning process with a client, there might be six or seven people in a room and they have diverging opinions. I'm there to ask some tough questions and draw out the information, and I can help to facilitate that conversation. And sometimes I play the role of a mediator. So it is important to maintain that that calm nature. I referenced earlier this client. It was a parent-child relationship in a business, and a family business can be pretty. It can get combative, and sometimes I've sat in a room and I've witnessed some behaviors between a parent and a child that I thought to myself, I thought I'd never see that in a workplace.
Right.
But I had to act as the mediator. So, yeah, my style tends to be, let's keep it calm.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you can't be tough and make decisions. Learned in my days as being a manager of people at Xerox, learning how to handle multiple types of personalities. If you ever managed a sales team, people are motivated for many different reasons. They're not all in it for the money. Some are in it for the freedom. Some are in it for the recognition. Some are in it for whatever, you know, it might be. They want to prove themselves to other people. And I learned that I had to manage those personalities in many different ways in order to get the total business results that Xerox wanted from my team.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. So so if you're just tuning in, I'm here with Michael Kochaczki from Accelerated Performance, longtime friend of mine, member of Rotary, used to be president of Small Business Council.
No, right? Not a president. I was a board member of Small Business Council.
You're such a leader. I just thought you were the president.
I've served two terms on the SBC Council board. I'm currently on the board of the Greater Rochester Quality Council, which is another affiliate of the chamber.
Okay.
And we promote performance excellence in the Greater Rochester region. We work with organizations, whether it be businesses, nonprofits, healthcare, education, or government, to implement Lean and Six Sigma practices, learn from each other, programs and events. And I've been involved with GRQC going back to really...
What's GRQC?
With Greater Rochester Quality Council.
Oh, okay.
Since the late 1990s.
Okay, great.
And it's a great organization.
Excellent, excellent. So, favorite books that you would recommend to business owners, entrepreneurs that you read and made a difference in your business style?
Well, you'd like this one, The Godfather.
The Godfather, yeah. Well, it's funny you say that. In my book, Make Love in the Workplace, the preface are the top 10 business lessons I learned from The Godfather.
I remember when you had that.
Yeah, and I said, you know, let me be clear, I'm not condoning the murder piece the way they did business. But there are some good lessons in there for sure, right?
Okay. Oh, yes, definitely. So actually some of the books, if you're looking at sales, there's some oldies but goodies. I like Spin Selling by Neil Rackham.
Mm-hmm.
I heard one of my fellow consultants in the local marketplace who focuses on sales found it a bit dry, but I think it's still there. I call it the grandfather of consultative selling.
Like good foundational stuff.
Great, and it's pretty detailed. It's rooted in research in the 70s and 80s and 90s, and it's been updated, I'm
Spin
sure.
Selling.
Neil Rackham of the Huthwaite Group. Maybe I'm partial to it because I was trained in that methodology at Xerox. But a lot of the consultative selling models are built on Neil Rackham's work. There's even a book called Consultative Selling, I think by Hannah. That's another book I've read. The last few years, a book called The Challenger Sale came out, describing five different types of sales personalities and styles, which ones work best in the post-Great Recession era, the type of sales rep who could be successful. In the area of leadership, I have a lot of materials that I use in my work that I have participants utilize that I've read and apply. And then in addition to that, supplementing that work with books by John Maxwell and his...
John is one of my favorites,
yeah,
for sure. I met
great.
John a couple of years ago. It was one of the highlights of my business career.
Right. So I've read a couple of his books, and they're often quick reads. I've read a couple of quick read books from him. Leadership, Thinking, Being, Doing by Lee Thayer. I know that's one of your favorites.
Yep.
That one's dog-eared on my...
Yeah, I have Bruce Peters
my
to thank for
stand.
That.
And so I'm in the area of Lean Six Sigma. There are tons of books out there. One really good one is Lean Six Sigma for Dummies in the Dummy series.
Sounds like my kind of book.
Explain it to you in simple, straightforward terms. I've read that one. I've utilized that. There's one Lean for Leaders at All Levels. That's a good book. A little deep. A little bit. You know, you got to plow through it. No, it's not for you. You need the book that's bing bing bing. So those are some of them.
Any magazines? How about your...
I'm a voracious... I read online every day. Mm-hmm. I read the Wall Street Journal every day. I stay on top of current events. I think knowing what's going on in business, politics, world events, sports, the Wall Street Journal to me is terrific. I'm going to pick up a new one called the Avante Entrepreneur Magazine.
Wow, what a great plug. it's on my desk as we're doing this interview.
But really, I encourage when I teach, I encourage my students to read the Wall Street Journal. And, you know, there's always something in there that's coming up that's relevant. You can spot industry trends. So if I'll give you an example. I work with one of my clients. I don't think they would mind my mentioning them. DeCarlos Truck Rental is one of my clients. Great organization.
Good people.
And while I was working with them and doing a management development program with their service managers about a year ago, you know, there was a story about Volvo trucks and problems with, I think it was with the steering and the axles and all of that. You know, it's good for me to know what's happening. These are trucks that, you know, are leased in the trucking industry, and their mechanics have to deal with that. So they, you know, I asked them very simply, you know, did you have any of those trucks come in for repair with this problem? And fortunately, none of theirs did. But, you know, knowing what's happening in the trends, another time years ago when I was first starting my business, I worked with a radiology practice to do a strategic planning process. I was actually trying to get the deal. And there was an article in the Wall Street Journal about a new emerging MRI method, MRI technology. I printed it out. I wrote a letter. I stapled it to the managing partner of the practice with a little note saying, you know, Jamie, I thought you'd be interested in this article. It's, you know, related to your industry. I look forward to meeting with you again. Boom.
Got the sale?
I got the sale in part because he was very impressed with the fact that I had taken the time to do that. So those little things can really make a difference. And all it took was for me to take 10 minutes out of my day, 20 minutes out of my day to read an online newspaper.
And that's stuff that you could have done 50 years ago, you could do today.
Sure.
I think a lot of the great sales techniques are old school because no one else is doing it. Right. You know, I still send handwritten thank you notes on Dave Mamano stationery.
Mm-hmm.
Little thank you cards. Why? No one sends thank you cards anymore. I'm trying to start a movement. If you look outside my office, I keep all the thank you cards I get because I started about a year ago because it separates people from the average. So reading, sending out, even if you read like the Business Journal or whatever, ripping out the article, congratulations, saw your Rochester top 100 company, et cetera. Hey, Michael, believe it or not, we got to get going.
We're done.
Was that fun or what?
It was great. I really enjoyed it.
All right, thank you
for having me. And I hope I was helpful to the people who are listening.
Pretty much. No, I'm just kidding. Very much. There.
Only you can get away with that.
I appreciate that. Yeah. No crying.
I'll call some of my friends from the Bronx.
Oh, no. The Bronx. Immigrated from the Bronx. Michael Kochaski, folks, from Accelerated Performance.
Yes.
Michael, if someone is really interested in learning more about you, wants to reach out to you, what's the best way to get in touch?
Two ways. I would suggest you can call me.
Yeah. Give your number.
585-303-9215.
Little disclaimer, ladies. He is happily married.
Married to Teresa.
We got to keep it, professional phone calls, okay?
And you can visit my website at excelperform.com, excelperform.com.
Excellent. And Avanti listeners, if you didn't catch that, you can always email me, david@davidmamano.com, and I will connect you directly with Mike. Mamano is, in case you're wondering, M-A-M-M-A-N-O. So, Michael, thanks again. Really appreciate your time and your insights and what you're doing for the Rochester community. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll have you back on the show someday. And thank you, Avanti listeners. Appreciate you listening to the show. And one last thing before we go. Before we go, if you or someone you know would like to be on the show, business leaders, business movers and shakers, part of the Rochester Renaissance, please, once again, throw me an email, david@davidmamano.com, and I'd love to have them on the show. So once again, thank you so much. Appreciate your time. Go to davidmamano.com to learn more. Make it a great day, and stay awesome.
Innovative Talk Radio, 1310 WOKR.